We're doing Chafetz Chaim. We're up to page Pei Aleph. Page Pei Aleph, paragraph Yud Beis in the second chapter. Odreiti lichtov davar echad beferush. I also thought it was right to write something, the following explicitly. Mipnei shreiti sharbe anashim murgalin bezeh, because I see many people have this bad habit. Vehu, shedoresh echad bevet midrash. When someone's giving a speech in the Beis Medrash, asur al pi adin lalig mimenu, it's prohibited to make fun of him. Velomar she'en bidrashotav mamash v'she'en ma lishmoa, and to say that his speeches have no value, there's nothing worth hearing. Uvavonotenu harbim reinu sharbe anashim putzim baze, and unfortunately, we find among the many things we do wrong, one of the things is this, that people feel free to speak that way. And people don't consider this prohibited at all. And he says, halachically, that's outright lashon hara. Because you could harm a person if he's hired as a speaker and you say his speeches aren't worthwhile, so then you've harmed him. And sometimes you could pain a person, you could embarrass a person. If what you said is accurate, it's prohibited to say lashon hara, even if what you're saying is true. Because what benefit does a person really intend when he's making fun? Why, is there really any benefit by what he's saying? Does he intend to benefit anyone by what he's saying? It's outright lashon hara. Kim bal nefesh hu adraba tzrich lietz achar kach bino leven atzmo la'arich lefanav shomar befanim acharim. Because if you really think you know what you're talking about, so then on the contrary, don't speak badly about the speaker. After the speech, invite him and explain to him how he should say it differently. Shebofen zeh shu omer ata en dvarav nishmeim. Explain to him that the way he said it, people aren't listening to him. If he really thinks he has good advice for him, if he really thinks the person isn't doing things right, so take him aside afterwards and explain to him. And then you're in fulfillment of love your friend like yourself, because then you're actually helping him. You're not talking badly about him behind his back. Certainly you shouldn't mock him in front of other people, and you cannot apply here the leniency we saw earlier, that if something was mentioned in the presence of three people, then it's public knowledge, and then we're more lenient. I explained this at length in the footnote. So this is relevant many times in life. Many times we think that our word is not so important, and we underestimate how much we could help a person if we give them a few tips, if we tell them something, you know, hey, maybe you should consider this way, that way. Maybe you should reconsider. Maybe this is not the path to go on. Maybe you should word it differently, express it differently, and you can really affect the person. It's the end of the year, right? It's the end of the Zman. Tomorrow's the last day of the Zman, then we have a break, and we start a new year in 3 weeks, right? So, I took advantage this morning, and I waited to thank the head of the Beis Medrash, where I've been learning all year. I waited in line to thank him for the year. So when I came to thank him, I said to him, you know, there's one thing which I think you should improve in the yeshiva. You gave a speech towards the end of the first month that we were in the yeshiva, and that Beit Midrash, and that speech moved me so much that I came home and I asked my wife to take 2 minutes of her time. I summarized to her what you said. I thought it was so valuable, and I think that the Beit Midrash would really benefit if you would do it more often, if you'd give a speech every month, every 2 months. I gained a lot out of it. So he said to me, what about the speech did you find affected you? So I wasn't prepared for that question. But I thought for a second, and I said to him, you know, there were 3 points you made that I took with me afterwards, and they were points which I overlooked. They were important points, and they made a difference. I told him they're still reverberating in my mind, and he took it to heart. You know, the classes, the way you see them now, are formed based on your feedback. I was not intending to teach Chafetz Chaim. I had no intention that we should learn this. But guys kept asking, I want to do Chafetz Chaim, we want to do Chafetz Chaim. So eventually I conceded, and then someone, a shul or a yeshiva, was getting rid of a bunch of copies. So I bought it for us here, and now we have a bunch of copies, and we're learning it. So when you say something with the intent to really improve, you can change things. You have to find the right timing, you have to say it in a positive way, but everything you see here is a product of comments made with positive intent by the guys in the Machon. Avat Chesed, how did we start learning it? About 9 years ago, we had a madrich, Yoshua Ellis, he's now rabbi in Poland, so he used to be madrich here, and you know, so we used to have Shabbos morning learning, back when we lived in the neighborhood, so Shabbos morning we would learn, and when I'd be by my in-laws out in Harnof, so the guys would be invited to come learn in Harnof. Whoever wanted to learn would daven early, and then we'd have learning from 8:30 in the morning until 10:30 till mealtime over here. So he came over there to Harnof, and we didn't have any of the regular books we would learn, so there was a Avat Chesed on the shelf. So I said, why don't we learn this? This is an important book. We started learning it, and he said, I want class in that. That's a good book. We should have class in that in the Mahon. Okay, we added class in that. We had a 20-minute class in that. We learned the whole book here. It took us 4 or 5 years, but that's how we got there. So I'm saying positive comments can really make a difference. And the Chafetz Chaim pointed out that making fun of someone, saying, he's got nothing to offer, his speeches are boring, they're not interesting, there's no validity to that. You might be right, but why should you tell other people that? Help them out. You know, give him a tip on how to be more interesting. What he should change. It's a balancing act. You have to know how to do it right. Till today, sometimes I get it right, and sometimes I don't. There was a rabbi who we invited here to speak, not here, in a different yeshiva, to speak a few times. And whenever I invited him to speak, so I wasn't there. I'd invite him to fill in. When I couldn't teach there, he would come. So once he asked me if I could invite him to speak when I'm there. And then he asked me to give him feedback on the speech. So I gave him feedback, and he wasn't prepared to hear it. It doesn't mean he wasn't prepared to hear it. When he heard the feedback, I said, you know, if you would stress this, and if you would, your opening line would be different, and if you'd interject a story, when you switch to this point, if you could have summed up your first point with the story and then gone on to the second one. So I gave him a bunch of tips and pointers, and he never agreed to teaching it. he wasn't... I didn't mean to say what he was doing was bad. I meant to say it's good, and you could do better. Here are things that I think will improve your speaking. He wasn't... He felt that, I guess, I wasn't gentle enough. I should have been more positive. So I'm saying it's a tricky thing. I'm telling you a story that happened in the last 2 years. I'd like to think I got smarter since then, but I'm not so sure. It's a tricky thing. It's a tricky thing. Even when you mean well and you try to help a person, and they've told you, I want your feedback, you got to really think it through. What's the right way to do it?